Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning for a few moments to Revelation chapter 1, the last book of the Bible, chapter 1 and verse 8. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as seen in the vision by John. It says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Look at that one more time. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." For the next few moments, I'd like to speak to you about the past, the present, and the future. Another year is about to take its place in the chronicles of history. There is now less than 65 hours remaining of this year of 2019. For some of you, as Thomas said during the worship set, 2019 has been the best year of your life. And you wish that this year could just go on and on and on and last forever. And for others of you, it's been the most difficult year you've ever lived. Yet by God's help and grace, you have made it. However, you're more than happy to see the year of 2019 come to an end. You know, time is a remarkable thing. Within it, generations come and go. Great civilizations rise and fall. People of momentary prominence, those who are in the headlines of the world's press, they pass through time with all the permanence of a fading shadow. Men like Plato, Aristotle, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, George Washington, Winston Churchill, John F. Kennedy, Princess Diana, Billy Graham, they've all died and have taken their place in the annals of history. Just think of all the changes this world has seen since the time of Adam and Eve. Or even think about all the changes in just the last 100 years, all the changes in transportation, changes in communication. These are all phenomenal changes, most of which we have seen during our lifetime. Friends, there's only one that has ever bridged and is bridging all generations. And there is only one that has faithfully walked with every nation since the beginning of time, helping and guiding in the affairs of men, and not only of men, but of nations as well. He is the one that binds the pages of history together. He is the one that was with David when he faced Goliath on the battlefield. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with the Apostle Paul in the midst of that storm at sea out there in the Aegean. He was with Martin Luther when he nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg door. He was with Reinhard Bonnke when he passed through the valley of the shadow of death just a few weeks ago on December the 7th, 2019. Friends, our God is the God of the past, of the present, and of the future. Look at that verse one more time. "I am the Alpha," which means the beginning of all things, "and the Omega," the end. "The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." You know, decades may change, but God does not change. God is the one that gave the message we're sharing this morning for this last Sunday of 2019. As he began to lay upon my heart simply to tell his people, remember the past, enjoy the present, and do not fear the future. Now, I want you to consider with me, first of all, remembering the past. Friends, the past represents our history with God. You know, history is indeed His story. It's His story in each and every one of our lives. Time and again, the Bible encourages us to remember God's past faithfulness. You know, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, listen to what it says. It's all about remembering God's blessing and not forgetting about them. Psalm 103, David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Then he begins to spell out, what are some of His benefits? First and foremost, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Aren't you glad this morning you have been forgiven and your sins are no longer? Thank God for it. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Listen to how the psalmist then recalls his own personal past blessings in Psalm 40. He says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." You know, there are times in life where you find yourself patiently waiting, or maybe at least waiting. And we find ourselves in that waiting room of life, and that can be a difficult place to be. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord." Some of you are waiting patiently for the Lord today for the salvation of a loved one, for your marriage to be reconciled, for your sons and daughters to have a relationship not only with each other, but with God and with the family. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me." That word "inclined" is an old English word that simply means God listened. He bent His ear low so that He could hear us. "And so He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit." You know, I am so glad God's direction is up. You know, we look at a world that's always pushing people down and, you know, somehow denigrating. I'm so glad to know that God is the God that's always lifting up. "He brought me up out of the horrible pit." Some of you can relate. You've been in a pit of despair, in depression, anxiety, whatever that pit may have been. He says, "I remember all of these things. God brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and He has put a new song in my mouth." And that song, he says, is even praise unto our God. "Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Here's what David is saying. He's saying that God has put a new song inside of my heart. And as I sing this new song, and as I declare this new song, others are listening. And as they listen, that is family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors, all of these different relationships in life, they're listening and watching me sing this new song, and they too are beginning to trust in God. I want you to know your life has an influence upon many. And so the psalmist said, as I think back, I was in a deep, horrible pit. God lifted me out. He took me out of the miry clay. He put my feet upon a rock. He is the one that has worked in my life. He gave me a new song. And that new song is a song of praise. Now, friends, we are not to live in the past. We're not to live on the past. And we're not to live with our past. Thank God we are redeemed, church. Thank God our names are now written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And though our sins were like scarlet, they become white as snow. And as far as the east is from the west, sin has been removed. So thank God, when we think about all of His blessings, we don't have to think about blessings always in the past tense. We don't need to live in the past or on the past or even with our past. However, the Bible clearly commands us that we are to thank God and remember His manifold blessings in our lives over and over. You know, this is easily done, especially in this time of life. You know, most all of us, we have with us all the time in these days our cameras. You say, well, I don't carry a camera. Yes, you do. Most everyone's got a camera on your phone. And you know, we take pictures of major events all the time. And not only major events, some people even take pictures of their meal. And they post what they just ate, making all of us hungry, you know, and wanting what they just had. But you know, with our phones, we're able to take and capture, you know, that first little glimpse of our grandbabies and, you know, that first, you know, opportunity to see our children and, you know, to see them off to school. And, you know, during the spring of the year and, you know, we go outside and we take pictures, you know, of the beauty of the grass greening and the flowers blossoming and all of this. It's a time, David said, and God affirms this, it is a time when we should remember God's blessing. And so what you can do is just take your photos and begin to scan through them. Just begin to walk through that that, you know, collage of pictures that you have taken through the year of 2019. And those pictures will bring back memory after memory. Another way to do it is journaling. You know, if you're not a journaler, many of you, if you're not even a journaler, here's what you do. You often will have a calendar where you write down major events, responsibilities, places you're to be. And, you know, what I like to do is I like to go back over my calendar. And I look at my calendar and I see, you know, all the things that were planned, all the various events, all of the dates that are on the calendar, flights I had to take either to India or to, you know, Israel or other parts of the world. You know, all of these events, they're somewhere in the calendar, and even electronically in our calendars, many of them. And as you just go back, as you begin to scroll through the pictures, it brings back memories, and you say, you know, God has been so good. And you look at your calendar, you see all that God has brought you through. And it's a wonderful time just to remember. Time of journaling, a time of sharing. You know, every time you share the blessing of the Lord and the miracles that the Lord has done for you, every time you share, here's what happens. It begins to stir that memory back up again, not only in gratefulness and thanksgiving to God, but it reminds you of just what daily life has been like and how God's blessing has been over your life. So every time you share what you were healed, the times that you were, you know, in despair and you weren't sure how it would ever work out and how God brought you through, every time you tell the story, every time you tell that adventure with God, it brings it and freshens it in your life, and it causes others to rejoice with you. So first of all, as we close out the year of 2019, and in just 60-some hours, we'll be entering into a brand new decade of the 20s, 2020, remember your past. Remember, you don't have to live in the past or on the past or with your past, but remember the past. Secondly, the Lord said, I want my people to enjoy the present. You know, Psalm 118 and verse 4 says this, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Notice, this is the what? Day. This is the moment which the Lord has made. And the response was, I have made up my mind. I know what I'm going to do in this day the Lord has given to me. I will rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. Someone wrote and said, the past is history. The future is a mystery. But today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. Another said it this way, yesterday's in the tomb. Tomorrow's in the womb. Today is a gift from God. Let's enjoy it to the full. Friends, there's no time like the present. You know, we can relish times past, and we are to remember them. But there is no time like the present. You see, far too many live their lives thinking they're going to be happy when. And they put this marker out there somewhere saying, when this happens, then I will be happy. Then I will be fulfilled. When I graduate, when I get married, when I get a better paying job, when I retire. All of these things we put out there and say, when I reach that marker, when that happens, then I will be happy. I came across an interesting story the other day. It's about Peter and the golden thread. Listen carefully as I read this rather short story, but very poignant one. Peter was a young boy who would never live in the moment. When he was in school, he dreamed about being outside playing. When he was outside playing, he dreamt of being on summer vacation. Peter constantly daydreamed, never taking the time to savor the special moments that filled his days. One morning, Peter was out walking in the forest near his home. Feeling tired, he decided to rest on a patch of grass and eventually dozed off. After only a few minutes of deep sleep, he heard someone calling his name. Peter. Peter, came the shrill voice from above. As he slowly opened his eyes, he was startled to see an elderly woman standing above him. She must have been over 100 years old, and her hair was white and dangled way below her shoulders like a matted blanket of wool. In this woman's wrinkled hand was a magical little ball with a hole in the center, and out of the hole dangled a long golden thread. "Peter," she said, "this is the thread of your life. If you pull the thread just a bit, an hour will pass in merely seconds. If you pull harder, whole days will pass by in minutes. And if you pull with all of your might, months and even years will pass by as though it were just a few days." Peter was very excited with this brand new discovery. "I'd like to have it if I may," he said. The elderly woman quickly reached down and gave the ball with the magic thread to the young boy. The next day, Peter was sitting in his classroom in school, feeling restless and bored. Suddenly, he remembered his brand new toy. As he pulled a little bit on the golden thread, he quickly found himself playing outside in the city park. Realizing the power of the magic thread, Peter soon grew tired of being a schoolboy and longed to be a teenager with all the excitement that phase of life would bring. So again, he held the ball and pulled hard on the golden thread. Suddenly he was a teenager with a very pretty girlfriend by the name of Elise. But Peter still was not content. He had never learned to enjoy the moment, to explore the simple wonders of every stage of his life. Instead, he dreamed of being an adult. So again, he pulled hard on the thread. Many years flew by in an instant. Now he found that he was transformed into a middle-aged adult. Elise was now his wife. Peter was surrounded by a house full of kids. But Peter noticed something else. His once jet black hair had turned gray, and his once youthful mother, whom he loved so dearly, had grown old and frail. He never learned to live in the now. So once again, he pulled the magic thread and waited for the changes to appear. Peter now found that he was 90 years old as an old man. His thick, dark hair had turned white as snow, and his beautiful wife, Elise, had also grown old and had passed away a few years earlier. His wonderful children had grown up and left home and led lives of their own. For the first time in his entire life, Peter realized he had not taken the time to embrace the wonders of living. He had never gone fishing with his kids or taken a moonlight stroll with his wife, Elise. He had never planted a garden or read any of those wonderful books that his mother loved to read. Instead, he hurried through life, never resting to see all that was good along the way. Peter became sad at his discovery. He decided to go out to the forest where he used to walk as a boy and clear his head and warm his spirit. As he entered the forest, he noticed that the little saplings of childhood had grown up into mighty oaks. The force itself had matured into a paradise of nature. He lay down on a small patch of grass and fell into a deep sleep. After only a minute, he heard someone calling out. "Peter, Peter," cried the voice. He looked up in astonishment to see that it was none other than the old woman who had given him the ball with the magic golden thread many, many years ago. "How have you enjoyed my special gift?" she asked. "At first it was fun, but now I hate it," he responded bluntly. "My whole life has passed before my eyes without giving me a chance to enjoy it. Sure, there would have been sad times as well as great times, but I haven't had the chance to experience either. I feel so empty inside. I have missed the gift of living." Friends, you know, getting there is half the fun. And in everyday life, God wants us to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy the present. Let me encourage you, as we close out 2019, and press into the year that is before us of 2020, if the Lord should tarry, let's make it our business. We're going to remember the past, all the blessings of the Lord, because these blessings remembered give us faith to believe that God has done it before, and when we need His help, He'll do it again. Amen, church? So we want to remember the past, but we want to savor the moment, and we want to enjoy the present. You know, I've discovered that there are two things that would try to rob us of our enjoyment out of the present. Number one is the worry about the past. What we could have done, should have done, might have done, or what we did. This worry is about our past and our failures and the things that, you know, just we want to forget. But it's worry about the past. And it robs us of our joy in the present. Or worry about the future, what might happen, could happen. All of these things combined begin to rob us of our joy in the present. Friends, as Christians, our past is redeemed. Our present makes sense to us because God is in charge. And our future is sure. God simply said, "I want you to enjoy the present." Thirdly, don't fear the future. Remember, our God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that spans all time from beginning to end. Never in the history of the world has there been more uncertainty and more fear. Most of us that were alive and most in the room would have been on 9/11. We will never forget the sights and the scenes of New York City seemingly under attack. The buildings as they crumbled to the ground and the dust pluming throughout greater area of New York City. Since 9/11, nothing has been the same. We do not feel the same security. There is something that we go through every time we go to an airport. Everything, we're reminded constantly, life is not the same. Global threats and the levels of global threat, they fluctuate up and down. Anxiety abounds. New emotional disorders are emerging. Emotional distress and duress is affecting children and senior citizens alike. Friends, I believe from the Word of God, the only fear we as believers should have is an awesome fear of Almighty God. The Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and of understanding. And friends, if we will have the kind of respect for God as we should have, which means we abide by His rules, we abide by His commands, we live under the umbrella of His blessing, we remember the past, we enjoy the present, and we know that God is in charge, so we do not fear the future. The only fear then that we should have as believers is an awesome, wholesome fear of Almighty God and of offending Him. You see, if we fear God, we need not fear man, nor what man can do to us. If we fear God, and we know that our God is as He is bigger than all and more powerful than all. No matter what we face in 2020, we can face it knowing God has been good to us in the past. We can enjoy the present without fear of the future. You see, the one that formed the earth and upholds all things by his power says to us, fear not. Matter of fact, as you go through the scriptures, you'll discover there are 366 different times where the words fear not are found in the Bible. And someone has said, the 366, so there is a fear not for every single one of the 365 days out of the year, and there's an extra one in there for leap year. The Bible tells us not to fear. And friends, I'm so glad to know the White House or the Kremlin, what is going on in North Korea or Russia or any other place on planet Earth, I'm glad to know God is still in control. And I'm so glad to know that God knows us and knows us by name. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. I'll never forget, we had a man that was with us one day, many years ago, and he said, you know, you can put your name in that particular verse. Put your name in there. I'll put mine in for a moment, and you follow along. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, Jerry, and he that formed thee, Jerry, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, Jerry, and I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Aren't you glad to belong to God? And aren't you glad this God that has 7.5 billion children on the planet right now, that he knows us by name? You know, they say there's nothing sweeter than your own name to hear it. I so love this stage of life with the grandchildren and to hear their little voices when I come in the door, even when they hear the garage door and I'm coming over to the house and they've been spending time with Grandma. You know, I'll hear them talk about Grandpa coming. You know, there's nothing like knowing that someone recognizes you and cares about you. And I want you to know God loves you. God created you. God has shaped your life. He gives you every heartbeat and every breath you draw. And he has been with you from the very beginning. He is the one that created thee. And he says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. He did not redeem us with silver or gold, the Bible tells us, which is corruptible. But he bought us back out of the slavery of sin with the blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ. And when you pass, through the waters, notice there it's not if you pass through the waters. I think we're all mature enough to know in life there is no way you're going to go through all of life without going through some tribulation. Jesus said, it's through great tribulation that we'll go into the kingdom. And so there are times of life that we would just like, if we could, skip over it. And we all feel that way. And I get that. I understand that. But he said, here's the deal. Here's how it's going to operate. You need not fear the future. I'm the one that created you. I'm the one that redeems you. I'm the one that knows you by name. I know whether you're standing or sitting. I know your thoughts when they're near and when they're far away. I know you that well. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You know, waters in Scripture most times refer to times of trouble. And it's rather consistent all throughout the Bible. Wherever you find waters, whether it's even the great flood of the past or the waters that we find the Apostle Paul in the Aegean Sea in that shipwreck, when you pass through the waters, when you pass through trials, notice there, when thou passest through, you're not staying there. And the enemy comes and whispers and says, nothing's going to change. I'm here to declare to you today, God made you, God cares for you, God knows your name, He knows where you're at, and He says, you're going to pass through. And when you pass through, He said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Friends, as we leave 2019, going to 2020, remember the past. Remember history, His story with you. Enjoy the present. Take time every day just to ponder upon how much God has done for you in that 24-hour period of time that we call a day. Every night as we close out our day, my wife and I, we like to take and hold hands, and we like to remember what God has all done throughout the day, and just to reflect and to thank Him, whether it's uphill or whether it was downhill, whether it was easy or hard, to know that God was with us and we made it. And friend, I want you to know you're going to make it. God is with you and God is for you. Don't fear the future. Now, some of you today, as you come into this room, you're ready to leave some things behind. In Italy, not so much today as in times past, but in Italy, on New Year's Eve, you'd want to be very careful walking down any of the townhouses and the rows of homes, because what they would do is open the windows and they would throw out everything they wanted to get rid of. So if it was a pot, a pan, you know, all this stuff would come flying out in the streets. And in the morning, on the first, they would come through with garbage trucks and so on and collect all this junk and just get rid of it. It was their way of saying, I do not want to go into the next year with the old stuff from last year. Some of you want to get rid of some stuff from last year, and God's going to help you do that in just a moment. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ, and you're saying, you know, if He is so much for me, I want to get to know Him better, and I want to walk with Him. Friends, let me tell you, we are living in a dangerous moment. My heart is broken for the number of high-speed accidents that have happened in our city, killing one, two, three at a time. So you might be the best driver on planet Earth, but someone else can come and suddenly cross over a line and take the life of someone you love dearly. Gunshots ring out all over our city. I'm so glad to know that there is a place in the palm of God's almighty hand that we can live and that we can be safe. The Bible tells us that we can be under the shadow of the Almighty. And some of you need to come into the shadow. You need to get in under the wing of the Lord. I wouldn't live one second without Christ, not in this day. I wouldn't take a chance for one second with my soul and my eternity without Christ. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come to Christ. And if there's some things that you want to get rid of, some things that you'd say, you know, boy, this just hasn't been a good year. Or maybe you're saying, you know, I want to pray that my son, daughter, grandchildren, someone that I love, someone I work with will come to Christ. And I'm going to get rid of some stuff, and I'm going to pick up some stuff today. I'm going to find my place in the arms of Almighty God. Father, we're so grateful for Your love for all of us. Grateful that You know us by name. grateful that you have a plan that is eternal. Father, I pray that right now, Lord, as we contemplate what we're going to get rid of, some feelings, some animosity, situations that have caused hardship, whatever it's been, Lord, there's an opportunity. We're going to bring it to you, and we're going to leave it here at the altar. I pray, Lord, that you would this morning touch every single life. Lord, as we make a determination that 2020 is going to be lived to the full with Jesus Christ. This morning, as the worship team begins to sing, I'm going to simply, if that is you, and you're saying there's some things I want to just leave behind, and there's a new relationship I want to start with God, and I want to simply come to this altar and I want to claim family members for Christ. Maybe your marriage in the year of 2019 went through a crisis and you find yourself in a crisis moment this morning, or your family's in a crisis moment and you want to come. You come. I want to pray for all of you just before we leave this sanctuary on the last Sunday morning of the year 2019. You come as they begin to sing.